need a flat to dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat, man!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him, I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
Good Monday evening to everybody. I am your host of the Monday Night Kickoff Show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. If my cell service goes out, forgive me, I will call right back in again. We are currently on I-95 heading southbound. We are approximately an hour away from Jacksonville-ish. Almost home from an awesome weekend up in Virginia Beach, Virginia at our boondoggle. Riding with me in the car is, of course, my lovely wife Jessica and my boy Chris, Mr. Flores. and his lovely wife, Melissa. So we're having a good ride home. The girls haven't killed us yet. I think they've thought about jumping out and tucking and rolling a couple of times. But other than that, the ride's been pretty good. But who cares about the ride, right? You probably want to hear about the boondoggle. If you're listening and you're wondering why the chat room is not up, it's because I am trying to do two things at once with two separate iPhones, and it doesn't want to load a chat room. However, Mr. Chip Gibson, the tree hugger, should be at his house here shortly. And he said that he would be more than happy to jump inside the house, fire up his computer, try and get things going. So we'll see how that turns out for us. Man, what a long weekend. We left Titusville, Thursday night at like 11 o'clock at night after being pulled over by the police, and I forgot my wallet. I had to go back home. What was it, Wednesday? Oh, my bad. It was Wednesday. The ladies just corrected me. We had to go back home, get my wallet. I forgot my wallet, my ID, which wouldn't have been good. We finally got back on the road at about 11:30. We got on the interstate. We're all cheering. Yay, we're finally on our way. And our trailer that we have that we're pulling our kayaks on decided to start shaking like a leaf on a tree. And we couldn't get over 55 miles an hour. So, with that being said, it was a very long, very slow ride from Titusville, Florida, all the way up to Chucktown, South Carolina, to see Stan and Holly. Those of you that follow the show, you probably know who Scoop Stan is and Snake Girl. Good friends of ours. We stopped up there to spend the night with them and then hang out in Charleston for the next day before making our way back up to Virginia Beach. So we finally pulled in to Stan and Holly's house at about 6 o'clock in the morning, right before the sun started coming up. I mean, literally right before the sun started coming up. And what have you. We ended up spending some time in Charleston the next day. We went on the lamest ghost tour I think that's ever been done in the history of ghost tours. But yeah, again, that's not really why we have the show, to talk about lame ghost tours. Thank you very much, Stan, for that. That great recommendation with that great tour group that was super lame. You owe me $32. So we, whatever. We decided to head on up there pretty early in the morning. Not really. We didn't leave Stan Holly's house till around 10. Putting us in Virginia Beach, Virginia, around 8:30. So we didn't get any fishing done the first day. That would be Friday. Saturday morning, everybody's all gung-ho as always at the boondoggle. And in typical traditional fashion, the Levi's and the Floreses didn't leave our cabin until right around 9:30-ish to go down to the water. And everybody else was out there at sunup. So fishing was slow. It was nothing like what I had envisioned. Everybody knows that the main target I wanted to try and look for was flounder. Well, somebody forgot to tell the flounder that I was coming to town and we were supposed to hang out, because no flounder were caught by this guy. I did catch a couple small puppy drum, but the fish of the day out of our party was Chris. Chris caught a nice, getting the benefit of the doubt, about 23-inch trout. Super fat. It was the strangest shaped trout I ever seen. It was almost as fat as a redfish. So that was pretty interesting. On a side note, the redfish in Virginia Beach are beautiful fish. They're a lot more silver than what we're accustomed to back home, and their tail was, every fish's tail was like electric blue. It was really cool. And, check us out.
Yay.
We're entering into Florida. The crowd goes wild. That is a welcome sight. Anyhow, so let's see. What were they saying? Oh, fishing. Right. Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome to get just finally put faces to names. It was great to finally meet Kayak Kevin face-to-face, Rob Choi, all those guys there. Came out for the dinner on Saturday night. We raised, I think, a little bit over $1,000 for Heroes in the Water with the raffle. And thank you, Salty Seas, for the food and the hospitality. First Landing State Park was pretty cool. The cabins are nice. We had a good time. It was a little weird having to go across a main thoroughfare to get to where the tent campers were. But other than that, so the next day comes around, and we decide that that would be Sunday, yesterday. Rolls around, we decided hell or high water, we're fishing again. And we had miserable conditions, to say the least. The front pushed in on us Saturday night, dropped the temperatures down to the 50s. And I think the high on Sunday was in the 60s and rainy. Kind of just miserable conditions all morning long. And we decided that if we get a small window of opportunity to go out and try and do some fishing, we're going to take full advantage of it. So we were lucky enough to get that window. And when that happened, we ran real quick, kind of gathered up our things, and put in down at 64th Street, which was a really cool spot. I mean, I didn't even realize we're fishing saltwater when we got there. It had the feel of a big lake. But it was awesome. I have to say, the people of Virginia Beach are some of the nicest people I think I've ever met. We had homeowners come out and greet us as we're sitting there drifting past their docks and stuff, and they're talking to us and whatnot, having a good time, status and stuff. We caught some fish, caught 3 keeper trout between me, Chris, and Holly. Jean McElroy was with us. She caught a little redfish, and I think she caught a couple other stuff, things too. And Holly also caught a sea bass. That was pretty awesome. And a couple croakers. And I got a small dink red as well. So the Fish Slayer of Sunday award for our little group goes to Holly.
Holly.
Killed it. Yay, Holly. The girls not participating in clapping.
Better known as Snake Girl.
Better known as Snake Girl, right. So that was cool. We hung out. I know I'm jumping back and forth here, but man, I'm beat. Saturday night we hung out around a campfire by Stan Holly's camping area. Chris is the official fire starter of the Boondoggle. Drinks were poured, stories were told. We had a great time. People fell out of trees. Not mentioning any names. Scuba Stan and while wearing a sombrero, Scuba Stan. And it was awesome, man. It was a great time. It was what the Boondoggle's all about. The Boondoggle, yes, we want to get there. We want to fish. We want to catch fish. The whole thing. But at the end of the day, we really do these Boondoggles to get people together and just have some fellowship type time where we can just, you know, be with our buddies, the people who are like-minded and crazy like the rest of us that drive 14 hours to go fish in 60-degree weather. And, you know, but I have to give the biggest shout-out of the weekend to our me and Chris's beautiful wives who decided to tough it out with us on this long journey with Louie the Fish in the backseat. And for those of you who don't know who Louie the Fish was, Bob over Brown's Taxidermy in Port Canaveral. First of all, the man does amazing work, and he was kind enough to donate Louie the Fish. He didn't call it Louie the Fish, but we call it. Oh, actually, the girls named him Louie, and donate a 40-plus-inch striped bass mount for the Raffle for Heroes in the Water. So, as we're getting ready to pack everything in, I'm like, well, where in the world are we going to put Louie the Fish? We can't, or where are we going to put the striped bass? We can't just shove them in there. You break a fan or something like that. Well, the only logical place to put it was in between the girls in the back seat of the Lexus SUV. And they weren't very happy with Louie about halfway through the ride. In fact, I think on several occasions, Chris stopped them from throwing them out the window. And not really, but I'm sure they would have liked to have thrown them out the window at some point. But so we get to, when we finally got to Charleston, we decided to pass off the striped bass to Stan and Holly, who had the camper, and they could take them the rest of the way to get the girls a little bit of rest from having to, you know, rub shoulders or fins, if you will, with the fish. So we get all the way up to Virginia Beach with this, you know, and meet back up again with our son, our love child, if you will. And the first thing the girls say is, if any of us win Louie the Fish in the raffle, you're not bringing him home. Because, of course, they thought that we'd have to put him in between them for the ride home. So, well, let's just say Chris acquired Louie the Fish. The raffle was awesome. Lots of great prizes being given out. We won a really nice native, or not, I don't think it was a native bag, but a really nice cooler bag that fits in the native. And then Chris, like, mopped it up. He won, like, four or five different times. One of the times that he won, he won a paddle that was donated by Kayaks by Bo. Thank you very much, Tom and Lynn. And he comes back over, well, in true Chris fashion, being the PIMP that he is, he walks over and trades or starts a bartering process with the gentleman who won the fish. So after a short conversation, he trades the paddle for the fish. So now we're in possession of Louie the Fish, and the look that his wife gave him when she saw him take hold of that fish and he hoisted it above his head, was priceless. You'd have thought Chris just won, like, the PGA Tour, like the U.S. Open or the Masters. He's like, yeah! He's holding this fish above his ceiling fan, spinning around, and we're all waiting for fins to fly and all kinds of craziness. And it wasn't to be. He didn't sacrifice any fins or scales or anything. But, yeah, so Louie's coming home, back home to Central Florida where he belongs. And I think Chris said he's going to put it on the wall right above their bed in their bedroom. So it's going to be pretty awesome. And so anyway, so yeah, the whole thing was just a lot of fun. We had a great time getting to meet new faces and, you know, see your old buddies and stuff. Got to spend some time with my boy Adam Hayes and Rob DeVore and Mark Watanabe, all those guys. And big thanks to GackAngler.com as always, and Chip Gibson for putting these things together. But for those of you who live underneath a rock and don't have a Facebook account or haven't been following us, I will tell you where we're going next once I find my soundbite. There it is. All right, well, I got carried away. So, February 15th through the 18th, I believe it is, we will be boondoggling at Cars Park in the No Motor Zone of the Space Coast. So come on down to Brevard County, hang out with us. Fish probably one of the most extraordinary bodies of water that I think we have up and down the Space Coast, because it is a true no motor zone. And in February, our target species will be a big giant redfish, some big black drum, hopefully. You should find some big trout. Slot reds are always a possibility. There may or may not still be some snook hanging around, depending upon how mild or cold of a winter we have. And offshore too, there's always a possibility up there of catching a little tarpon. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, Chris is here for me. He's my wingman tonight. He, if you haven't a copy of the Florida Sport Fishing magazine for this month, then go out to your local newsstand and do that. I wrote an article on the No Motor Zone, and you can familiarize yourself with that. In fact, you don't even have to go to your local bookstore here in Florida. We found copy of that same magazine in Virginia Beach while we were there. So check it out, Florida Sport Fishing. Pretty good article, if I do say so myself. Pat myself on the back. And as Adam Hayes would say, my head's getting bigger. But man, it was awesome. Probably one of the funniest moments of the whole entire trip, besides Chris dunking his reel in the water again, was
right underneath the bus, buddy.
No problem. That's what I'm here for. So anyway, Rob Batback Castivore had the theme music to Pirates of the Caribbean playing in his head when this giant yacht went by us over off 64th Street, and he was like pinned between the seawall and these giant waves in his kayak, and I swore he was going to go down like Titanic, man, because it was crazy. At one point, all I saw was shoulders in the top of his head. That's how tall the swells were. But he rode it out like a champ. That was pretty awesome. And then, actually, also, too, same type of situation happened with Melissa. And, you know, Melissa is a kayak fanatic, I'd say now. She's hoping to get herself either a Hobie pedal drive or Mirage drive, whatever, or the native Mariner. But she was in a Jackson Cuda, and she handled some pretty big swells as well, right up against the side of a sandbar. She actually kind of like surfed it over the sandbar, which I thought was pretty awesome. But yeah, it was neat, man. We had a great time. Let's see, I got a caller in queue. Who's this 678 area code? 678.
Hey, Chuck, it's Jim. Yeah, it's Jim up in Roswell.
Oh, what's up, buddy?
Oh, man, just listening to the good time I missed.
Yeah. It was fun, man. It was fun. Fishing was really, really tough. But I think pretty much everybody caught fish. It was just, but like I said before, it's not all of what it's about, you know. We really like to try to stress the fact that it's more about the fun and the camaraderie than it is about the fishing. But, it was good. It was a good time, man, for sure. The Lozier did a good job of putting a great boondoggle together up there, and It was fun. There was a lot of people there. I don't know how many people we had. I think we had altogether probably close to 100 folks, that, if not a little bit more, that fished. But we were so spread out in different fishing spots, it was kind of crazy. Yeah, it was neat. What's that?
Cars Park in February. Come on.
What's that, buddy?
I said Cars Park in February. Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Cars Park in February. It should be a good time, man. I've got a lot of things planned for that one. Or at least I have a lot of things I'm hoping will pan out. One of the things I'd really like to do is get the local businesses involved on Saturday night and maybe get one of the businesses to host our dinner, so that there'll be no like ticket fee for your meal on Saturday night. I already know that Kayaks by Bo in Titusville has offered up his facility for us to come and kind of hang out and do our raffle and that kind of thing. We're trying to work on seeing whether or not we can get a street party to coincide with the Boondoggle weekend right there in downtown Titusville as well. And I keep bringing this back to downtown Titusville because here's the situation with lodging and camping, and I've already gotten a million questions about, you know, where are we going to stay? You know, what's the best place? How close are we all going to be to each other? Cars Park is, if you're not familiar with it, folks, Cars Park is like its own monster. It's down the end of a residential road that ends into the no motor zone, and there's no hotels, there's no other campground. It's just Cars Park right there in Merritt Island, in the northern side of Merritt Island. There's RV hookups, there's tent spots. You can put your tent on an RV spot. The way this all is going to work, as far as there's no reservations, it's first come, first served for the spots. So everyone will have a spot to camp. It's just a matter of what spot you'll have. There's plenty of room out there, cars. But the actual individual locations, they don't mark them off as yours until you get there and you pick it. So it's kind of interesting. To get a reduced rate for everybody and see if we can't, maybe get something going on there maybe some sort of something. So we'll just have to figure it out. There. I think I'm back. Yeah, I should be back. Let's see. Yep, I'm back. Cool. So anyhow, let's see, where was I? I'm off State Road 46. There's the KOA campground there, so you guys can start to maybe get a couple reservations there if you'd like to. You'd be about 25 minute drive from there to Cars Park, maybe just a touch longer depending upon traffic. And then also too, Jetty Park out in Port Canaveral has some tent camping and also too RV camping. And I just found out from Melissa that they have some cabins, small little cabins available as well. Super small, no kitchen cabins available as well, but brand new. So anyways, that's pretty awesome. And then, so if you have any other questions, as we get closer and closer to February, feel free to email me or hit me up on Facebook, whatever. My email address is redfishchuck@hotmail.com. And if I don't respond to you right away, please just hit me up on Facebook. And because I don't always check my email, but I try to do the best I can. Yo.
It's Chip, man. I'm in the studio with you now.
You're with me?
Huh?
We're together right now in the studio.
Yeah, it's kind of dark. I turned the lights on, though. You have 14 people in the chat room, man. Let me say hi to them for you so you can know who's in there. We got Jason Reds. There's Gator Dave. GJ Mac. 23, a couple of guests, JPSW Fish, King Rat, Mr. Lozier, Peppy's in there, Scoob Stan, T. Morris, and Tom V. So all people a lot of people that we know their face now.
Yeah, man.
And there's also somebody else on the line, 678.
That's Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah, it was, I'll tell you what, man, I had a great time, Chip. Did you?
Yeah, dude, I had an awesome time, man. It was great being up in Virginia Beach with all of the folks from around there. The Loggers, outstanding job getting everything set up. Like you said, thanks to Salty Seas. Thanks to all the local hospitality. And Tom V, you do have an awesome face, man. Good cause, over $1,000, like you said, to Heroes on the Water. And like you said, man, it was just great fellowship. I think the Church of the Irreverent Boondoggle is alive and well, and we'll continue. We have services coming up in February.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited about it, man. I can't wait for February to roll around. I wish that we were all financially stable enough to be able to have boondoggles every weekend, because it would be a lot of fun. But, so just talking with the locals, I got a chance to speak to some folks that were in a bay boat back in off of 64th Street, and they actually knew Mr. Lozier, Mr. Celebrity himself up there, and they're like, oh, that guy's awesome. He catches all kinds of fish out of that kayak, man. It's pretty cool. But and they told me the day or two before that front came, the fishing was just on fire. And the front really kind of slowed everything down, which I knew it would. When I woke up the next morning and felt that cold air, I was like, oh, man, this is going to definitely put a damper on everything that we were hoping to do. But like I say, we still caught some fish and had a great time. I wish a bunch of the guys who couldn't make it at the last minute there could have shown up, because, like I say, it was more so than the fishing. It was just a great time to get together and have fun with everybody and just laugh. I mean, I haven't laughed as hard as I laughed this trip in a long time. You know, when people fall out of trees and stuff like that at night, it's kind of comical. Scoop stand. So, but, you know, it was, just another boondoggle in the books. I mean, what do you say?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, besides, let's just do it again. And
I know. There's some questions in the chat room for you, man. Pepe's in there, you know, throwing out everybody's going to love the No Motor Zone in the wintertime. That's awesome. Joey's asking about the weather and what's it going to be like in February.
Well, traditionally, in February, we have cool temperatures, and sometimes we get hammered with some wind. Other years, we get reprieve from it. So I would probably look for 60s. I would say 60s would probably be about the low, maybe 50s if we get a good front through. And then your highs are almost always in the 70s, mid-70s, upper 70s. But again, every year seems to be just a little bit different. This past year, we had a very mild winter, so we never really got down any really cold days. We only had like maybe a handful of cold days the entire winter. But 2 years prior to that, it was freezing. I mean, February was miserable. The wind was blowing, and I mean, it felt like it was 30 degrees outside. I know it wasn't, but you know, it felt that way. But so that's about that. And I mean, the water clarity that time of year should be pretty good. The motor is kind of funny. For whatever reason, it never really gets super, super clean. But you'll still be able to do a bunch of sight fishing. That time of year, almost everything that we're gonna fish for will be honed in on crustacean. Rather than trying to find finfish and worrying about bringing a cast net to catch mullet or finfish and croakers and whatever else. Big roe mullet are good for bait. We cut them up into fist-sized chunks, use those big chunks for the big 40, 50-inch redfish. Blue crabs, quartered or used whole, are good for the black drum if you want to try and get them on bait. So it should be a good time, man. I think the fishing's going to be better in the No Motor Zone of Florida than it will be anywhere else that time of year. I can pretty much guarantee you, because that's like the heart of when it really can get super, super good. And for those of you that aren't aware of what exactly goes on in the Motor Zone, No Motor Zone was created a bunch of years back for the families of the NASA employees and governmental employees to have a place to go, play softball and tennis and all that kind of thing. Also go camping and just enjoy themselves. It was like a membership type club. And years have gone by now, and they decided to open up the launch area for kayakers to the public at a $5 fee, which is pretty awesome. It puts you right in the heart of some of the best fishing around. And the schools of fish that hang out in the Motor Zone that time of year will blow most people's minds. We should be able to see groups of breeder reds anywhere from 15 or 20 fish in a pack up to 200 or 300 fish. And then also to the black drum, anywhere from puppy-sized black drum all the way up to 40, 50, even 60-pound fish in groups of just a few fish all the way up to, again, maybe even up to a couple hundred. It's a lot of dead bait fishing that time of year. You can throw topwater plugs most of the afternoon and morning for big trout. You throw your little shad tails, because they're awesome, and or you can throw, you know, gulp or whatever you want to throw as far as artificials go for your slot-sized fish. They'll eat that. You can use gulp peeler crabs if you want to still try and stay artificial and try and catch the bigger fish on artificials. And sometimes the big ones will take a fly, too. So, but like I say, it's pretty cool. Also, driving into Cars Park, the road that leads into Cars Park is called Hall Road. Hall Road consists of a bunch of marshland that's on either side of the actual roadway, so ditches, if you will. And if you follow my show and you follow me on Facebook, you know that I have this weird love affair with these little ditch sharpen. We catch the crap out of them, out of these ditches. That time of year, it might not happen because depending upon how cold the water gets, if we have a mild winter, then those who wish to get off the water from the no-motor zone and go do something different can bring a fly rod or a light tackle rod and go try and catch some small juvenile tarpon along that road, too. So that'll be a lot of fun. Mosquito Lagoon is located just to the north of the no-motor zone, about a 25 to 30-minute drive from Cars Park. So, in a nutshell, that's pretty much Cars Park, no motor zone / whatever. But you also have an option for nighttime fishing if you want to do something a little bit different, a little bit crazy, maybe something you haven't done before. You can fish Port Canaveral at night, inside Port Canaveral around the cruise ship terminals and that kind of thing.
Big snook.
What's that?
Big snook.
Yeah. Chris will be happy because there's snook there. And there's big snook that live in Port Canaveral. We got big snook there. We usually have some mangrove snappers hanging around, big giant sheephead, spade fish. There's some groupers to be had on occasion. Some bluefish that time of year, probably some Spanish mackerel cruising around. So, you got options. Lots of options. Flounder, should be decent, too, in Port Canaveral that time of year because it's going to be colder.
Okay, I'm going to break in on you.
Yeah.
They're talking about the same rods that we'd use right now, some snook, same tackle that we used up in Virginia Beach. They're asking what kind of tackle to bring.
Yeah, if you want to bring in the wintertime, I don't mind using light tackle for big fish because the water is so cool, the oxygen levels are really high. And you can take a sleigh ride on a big giant redfish in the wintertime and not kill it. I never recommend anybody to do that in the summertime. In fact, I frown upon anybody who tries to target 40-50-inch redfish in Florida in the summertime with light tackle or any tackle for that matter out of the kayak. But I really like to catch them on light stuff. So 10 to 15 pound braid, typical medium heavy action type rod. A 2,500 to a 4,000 is fine. If you want to just horse them in and not deal with the sleigh ride and the fight and all that stuff, you can bump it up to a 6,000 size reel if you're going to use a spinning reel. Or just a decent size bait caster. Might would even bump the braid up to 30 pound. And as far as the leader goes, I mean, you don't have to worry about breaking off on nothing. There's nothing really out there to be broken off on. I never go over 20 or 25 pound when I'm fishing for those fish. So that's that. And if you want to obviously all your other stuff will be pretty much the same as the standard issue, light tackle rods, medium action rods for throwing soft plastics, maybe a little bit stiffer rod for throwing top waters. If you're going to do the fishing, if you're going to fish in Port Canaveral, I recommend that you bring out the big guns, as Rob likes to call it, the meat sticks. Because if you look at snook in Port Canaveral and you don't turn his head and get him coming to you, you will lose him. There's no way you're going to land him. And being that we are in kayaks and you're basically a sled on the surface, unless you're anchored, you'll never turn them, the big ones. Because we get snook, 20 pounds, 25 pounds in Port Canaveral pretty regularly. So it's definitely something to think about.
Okay, so we're gonna reminisce for a second, let you take a breath. In our first boondoggle 2 years ago in February, we started at Little Talbot Island in Jacksonville, North Carolina. It was an opportunity. We were in Florida. It was only about a three-hour drive down to Mosquito Lagoon. Now, that's on the north side of Merritt Island. We're going to be on the south side, but Mosquito Lagoon will certainly be an option for us while we're there this year. This coming February. But so a few of us from the boondoggle at Little Talbot decided to make the trip down early Sunday morning to fish with Chuck and Dee Kaminsky at the lagoon. And it was absolutely incredible. I mean, there were seven of us fishing totals, a couple of locals, the four of us, the clone and Wheeler and Rob DeVore made the trip down with me. And we got on fish right off the bat. I mean, the clone, we weren't, what, 15 meters from the launch, and the clone catches a redfish and a trout. Two casts, redfish, trout, in the boat. So he's working on his first slam. And then we get out. We see some pushes coming across the flat. These are 34, 36-inch, 32-inch fish. They're in 6 inches of water, so their backs are out of the water as they're pushing. We cast in front of them. I hook up with a 32, go for a little sleigh ride, and then it's in the boat. We continue on across the lagoon. We get into a little hole. Just, what was it, about 9 o'clock in the morning, Chuck, when we finally found that big school?
yeah, it was about 9.
Yeah, so we get on a school at about 9 o'clock. These are all fish in the 18 to 20-inch range, and we commence to catching fish. And this is no lie, the clone at 2:30 in the afternoon just lays back on his kayak and says, "I am too tired to catch any more fish." I mean,
yeah, it could be really, really good. And there's days where you just luck into finding that big group of fish. And if you fish them right, and the way we fished them was the way to fish them, kind of surround them and bounce them off of one another. They won't really leave. They'll just kind of swim back and forth. And it was really stupid, actually, because I think it came to the point, did it not, where we just started throwing things that we never caught fish on. And we're like, oh, I've never caught a fish on that color. Let me throw it. And we caught a fish on it. I had the redfish on fly monkey on my back for years, whether it be just because I was too confident with the spinning rod, where I knew if I saw one, I would have a much better chance of catching him on the spinner rod than on the fly rod. So I wouldn't even pull out the fly rod or what have you. I jumped out of the kayak and I had to take advantage of the opportunity, and I got two on fly, like, what, within three or four casts. I'm passing the fly rod around, hoping people would, you know, try and hook up on their first red on fly and stuff like that. But yeah, it's not uncommon to find those schools of what the Virginia Beach guys call puppy drum in just mass quantities. I know for a fact we caught over 200 fish.
Conservatively, yeah. I mean, the clone lost count at 35 fish for himself.
Yeah, oh yeah. And it was funny because we would literally at any given time have five or six guys, or even all of us would all be hooked up on fish at the same time. And we're in a spot that was so, I mean, the area where we're fishing, folks, was like, what, not even 100 yards across? I mean, we were less than that. We were 30 yards from each other, I mean, in a circle.
Yeah.
And all those fish were just kind of hanging there, so it was really cool. But I'll get some really, really solid information from my guys that I know that do boat charters up in the lagoon and stuff, and see if we can't maybe perhaps pin down another one of those puppy drum massacres, if you will, because that would be a lot of fun. I think people would get a kick out of that for sure.
They all want to be bigger now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, definitely. Listen, we've been fishing up until the last month or so. We've been fishing a couple of schools of fish over in that same area, and every fish that I've caught out of that area over there were all keepers, and most of them being over. In fact, that nice red I got on fly not too long ago, that came out of that exact same spot where we caught those little fish. So yeah, there'll definitely be fish around. It's going to be a good time. All of the activities that I'm hoping will come together that will coincide with the boondoggle will give folks options of things to do at night if you don't want to go fishing, if you don't want to sit around the cabin or whatever, or the tents. But I will tell you this. There is absolutely no reason to be up at Ugly 30 in the wintertime in Florida. So, you know, feel free to stay awake a little bit later in the evening if you want to partake in the party. Because it's, you know, the water's cool. actually water's usually pretty cold. And our fish don't react to the cold weather the same way that everybody else's does. They definitely want to slide in that shallow stuff and lay there until the sun comes up and then warm up and then kind of move around and do their thing. So most of the time in the winter, I won't even get to the ramp until 9:30. And I'll fish the late afternoon bite and, you know, go back. And especially in the motor zone, when you're fishing those big breeder fish, they're like dogs. They have like an area, a territory that they like to cover, and they'll just swim back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, you can ask Peppy there in the chat room. It's just it's a good time had by all.
Yeah, they just ask for the non-resident license. It's 7 days. A non-resident saltwater is $30. So,
yeah,
you're gonna want to come back. So it's only $47 for a whole year. I mean, so if you're gonna fish more than twice, I would go ahead and buy the annual. So it's only $17 for the other. 358 days.
right. So. Yeah, and if you're from Georgia, the Carolinas, whatever, it's a short drive to Jacksonville, and Jacksonville's got great fishing. So I mean, if you ever plan on coming back, or if you want to come back and visit my little stomping grounds here in Central Florida, it's definitely worth it to buy the extra 350 days for an extra $17 or whatever it is. Obviously, right. The price is a little bit more steep in Virginia Beach, but, you know, it is what it is.
Asked about what size fly rod for ditch tarpon.
Depends on what you – I mean, I'll throw anything from a 6-weight to a 9-weight, but I will tell you this. When you do throw the 6-weight is when you're going to get a 15- or 20-pounder to eat your fly. And if you do, you're not going to land it. So, I don't know. I don't like to use overkill with a 9-weight because some of these fish are tiny. Some of them are, you know, size of the palm of your hand or maybe even, you know, a bit bigger than that. Most of them will be anywhere from, let's say, 15 inches up to about 25, 26 inches. So, I mean, they're still fun to catch. I mean, the little things, and they fly out of the water. They do backflips the whole nine yards, just like a 100-pounder. And the cool thing about those little tarpon, unlike a puppy redfish that doesn't look anything like a giant redfish, I mean, proportionate-wise, their bodies just go through a little bit of a change. The little tarpon look exactly like a 100-pounder, which is really kind of cool looking. Big giant eyeballs on them and everything, and they're super aggressive. When they're in the ditches. So it could be fun. It could be a lot of fun. Like I say, we're lucky to be in the Space Coast. We're surrounded by water. We've got a ton of different things you can do. I'm going to try my best to get some of my locals, like Peppy and them, and the guys from Space Coast Kayak Anglers, to maybe lead a couple different groups around and break it up a little bit. This way here, everybody has a local to fish with. As far as like a group of people, so you have like 6 people in your little group, everybody can kind of tag along with somebody who knows the area real well and kind of make it as productive as possible. I think that's one of the things I love so much about the Boondoggles is being able to go to different areas and fish these areas with people who know what they're doing, you know, or to at least get the inside information on what's going on. So. What else, brother?
That's about it. They're asking, you know, fishing on the Peppy's throwing you under the bus, man. So,
what did he say?
Yeah, he said if you want to catch fish, come with him, not Chuck.
Yeah. No worries.
There was some folks were asking water depth around the no motor zone and the lagoon. What, you know, anywhere from in the channels, there's no channels in the no motor zone, but it's pretty much all wadeable in the no motor zone, right?
No, there's channels. There's a channel no motor zone. It's where the NASA recovery ships would bring the rocket boosters back into NASA.
Right.
They bring them up through the no motor zone. It's the only motorized vessel besides FWC that's allowed in the no motor zone. But, yeah, most of it's wadeable. You're going to come across some areas that are a little bit deeper. The average depth of the no motor zone, I would say, is probably about 2 feet. But the areas you're going to want to fish are going to be on the bars. You're going to want to fish close to the shoreline, that kind of thing. If you're fishing for the big ones, you want to fish the bars and fish off the deep sides of the bars with the big chunks of dead bait, whether it be mullet or ladyfish, that kind of thing. So, but I mean, the lagoon is completely different. Almost 90, I think, percent of the lagoon is about 1.5-2 feet of water.
Yeah.
Would I say that it's wadeable? Not really. I mean, there's definitely areas of it that are, but there's a lot of it that's muddy, really muddy bottom.
Yeah.
And also, too, something to think about, there is no tide in either one of these locations unless you go to the lagoon and head way north, which nobody, I think, will do. We don't have to fish a tide because there just isn't one. It doesn't exist in those areas. So, and the reason for that, because I'm sure people are going to be like, well, how is that possible? Saltwater, right? We have a lock system at Port Canaveral, which doesn't allow water to obviously pass through freely. So, hence, no tide. The Mosquito Lagoon is basically almost like a landlocked estuary in the sense that there isn't a bunch of inlets that open up to allow it to dump into the ocean. The only one that we have is up in ponds. And at that point, you're basically in the Indian River Lagoon itself as opposed to the Mosquito Lagoon. So, yeah, you won't have to worry about, wind's high, wind's low, wind's slack, or any of that kind of stuff. Your water level's not going to change. There's no flood tide to fish, none of that kind of thing. So, which makes it for actually an even better fishing experience, because in the wintertime, like I say, these fish just want to stay warm. They don't want to have to worry about moving when the water comes in and out. They want to get that shallow stuff, stay in the shallow stuff as long as they possibly can, and then move off. So.
Right. And the talk just walked around to the alligators. Yeah, it should be cool enough that the alligators will be slow moving. So you just make sure you fish with somebody you can run faster than.
Or trip somebody.
Yeah, there you go. Just trip them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, if you just trip somebody, then you're good. No. Alligators and sharks and those types of things are not a concern. At least they've never really been a concern. I would be more concerned about the hundreds of manatees that call the no motor zone home and the Mosquito Lagoon home. You paddle over the top of a sleeping manatee first thing in the morning, and you will know it because he will throw you about 4 feet in the air, you, your kayak, all your gear, and everything else. And,
manatee rodeo.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I've watched grown men scream like little girls and land in the water and swear it was a gator that threw him in the air, a big bull shark or something crazy like that, only to have a manatee come up for a big breath of air right after doing it, like almost like it's going to laugh at you or something. But
right.
If you set out an anchor, too, think about this, too. If you set out an anchor, they do like ropes, manatees do. They like to come up to the ropes and grab a hold of them with little flippers and rub bellies on them and whatnot, so at least have a detachable anchor system, so if you decide to get all wound up in it, you can release your anchor so you don't just start rolling over. But yeah, I wouldn't worry about the gators, man. The water will be too cool for them to be super active. Most of them will be up on the banks trying to sun themselves and just kind of stay out of your way. But,
right. Somebody asked about the ditch along Pine Island Road. How's that?
The ditch along Pine Island Road. Okay, here's a sore subject for me. Recently, they put a new road in at the end of Pine Island Road to go back into what I am assuming is going to be a housing development. They put culvert pipes down below that road, and they put a grate system in front of those culvert pipes, which doesn't allow for the same fish to be able to travel freely back and forth down that particular ditch. I'm not real happy about it because I think that what we have in the ditch system in Merritt Island, including Pine Island, Hall Road, Judson, and all that, is probably one of the most important tarpon breeding areas or tarpon nurseries in Central Florida, if not in the entire state. More tarpon, this is a fact, more tarpon have been caught and tagged or DNA swabbed out of those ditches than anywhere else in the entire state. We've got two guys that do it, and it's all they do, and both of them always fight for the guy who has the most DNA swabs. And I think last year, the guy that won had over 450 tarpon released in that area. So, you know, but the fishing in that ditch can be pretty good. In fact, at that time of year, it should be really good. It's a really muddy bottom, so it stays warm. But what's cool about Pine Island area is when you get down to the end of Pine Island Road, the ditch that takes you all the way out to the Indian River Lagoon system, there's actually, you have an opportunity of catching a slam in that ditch. Redfish, trout, snook, even tarpon, sometimes black drum. There'll be some ladyfish and stuff like that in there too sometimes. But with the bottom being as muddy as it is, look at this guy. With the body being as muddy as it is, you run the risk. Oh, no, don't run the risk. You run the chance of catching any of those species because, again, the water stays warmer than out in the river. I'd get past them if I were you. Yeah. We got a guy up here in a truck that's, like, rocking and rolling back and forth. He's got a heavy load in the back of his truck. Anyway, so I would definitely do that. He's on his phone, that's why. So try those areas out. But if you want, you can drive to the end of Pine Island Road. You can dump your kayak off the back of your truck, put it in the ditch, and walk it down towards the end. There's a big cove that opens up right before you get to the river. And me and Chris were there, what, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago or so. And there were tarpon rolling all over the place in there. And they were good-sized tarpon. They were probably 10, 15-pound fish. So that's a good spot. And then when you hit the mouth of the river right there, it puts you out on the Pine Island Flat. And that flat there and all the way to the north usually holds pretty good numbers of slot reds and some big reds too.
Yep. And let's see, Pepe and a couple other also, and I seconded it. I recommend that if you got a set of breathable waders to bring them for the trip because it will make life a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually mad at myself for not having my waders with me up there. Where we were at. I mean, Saturday it didn't really matter because it was kind of nice outside, but Sunday was miserable. And it would have been nice to have frog togs or just a set of waders or something like that to keep me a little bit more dry. But
yeah,
you know, I mean, that's the thing down here in Florida, man. If you get cold, if you get wet, you're going to be freezing if the weather's cold because it just stays cold, like, all day. You've probably seen some pictures that I've got on my Facebook and stuff like that of me. And I know you saw me this way, Chip, before. Probably laughed at me when I have sweatpants, waders, a long-sleeve shirt, a short-sleeve shirt, and a sweatshirt, a hoodie, and a ball cap. Trying to stay warm in Florida. It's kind of crazy, but yeah.
Yeah. No, it's necessary. I mean, it makes life a lot more comfortable. So.
And your PFDs.
Yes, PFDs, definitely. It's a requirement. So. Hey, buddy,
cool.
It's the top of the hour. So
awesome. Well, Chip, I appreciate you jumping on the computer. I know you got to be dog-tired, man, from the long ride and big weekend, and I appreciate it, as always, for what you and Adam and Mark do to put these things on, man. It's they're a lot of fun.
If people don't show up, we don't have them, right? It's all the people that show up.
That's it, and I'm expecting – actually, I'm going to throw out a challenge – here, and I'm going to do it on the various forums. I want the No Motor Zone / Titusville Boondoggle to be bigger and better than the Virginia Beach Boondoggle. That's the kind of the idea of us doing Boondoggles, is to make the next one even bigger and even, you know, better. So if I don't have at least 75% of my guys from Space Coast Kayak Anglers out there, I'm going to be pretty pissed. But you know, I'm going to reach into to all of the different fishing groups. I want everybody to come out, Orlando Kayak Club, the hardcore guys, the Irish Water Dogs, our friends up there in Jacksonville, the hardcore guys down south that do all the beach stuff. You know, it'd be cool if we can get ourselves a good 200 folks to come on up here and have a good time. But as we start to dial things in and get people to commit to coming up and maybe setting up a tent or whatever, whether it be exhibitors or what have you, we'll kind of announce some of that stuff to kind of get you guys all fired up. I'm going to reach out, and I'll just, you know, throw it out now. I want to reach out to all the kayak manufacturers and see if anybody wants to come on out like Woody did up there in Virginia Beach and come out and hang out with us. It'd be cool if we can get a representative from each brand to maybe come down with some boats and stuff and hang out for the weekend at Cars and let people paddle around a bunch of different stuff. So we'll see. But anyhow, Chip, thanks again, man. Appreciate it. And everybody in the chat room, thank you very much for joining me tonight on the road. And from all of us here in the car on our way home, want to thank everybody in Virginia Beach for the warm hospitality, the amazing food, and just good times that we had up there and memories that we made that'll last a lifetime. And with that, appreciate you guys tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week. Don't forget, tomorrow night is the Double L show. I'm sure they have plenty to talk about. Wednesday night, we got Wheeler. Thursday night, of course, is you, sir, the godfather of kayak fishing radio. Take kid fishing. And Trey and Logan, Daddy's coming home. Good night, everybody.